Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay. God. Well, let's pray. Okay, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. It's so precious to us. It's a light unto our path. Amen. If it wasn't for your word and our Lord, we would be stumbling through a dark world with no way to see. We'd be falling into the pits and the snares of the enemy. But thank God for your word. It lights up our path. And Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding and this morning so that we can receive this word and pray, and I just ask you to help me communicate it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, now I'm reading out of the NIV, it says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Boy, there's a lot said in that two scriptures, two verses there. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." Okay. In these two verses, Paul described how he, Timothy, and Silas, and all the believers are tied together. We're all, if you're born again and you are a believer, he's talking about us right there. He's saying both you and us, how he makes us stand firm in Christ. Okay, we're all tied together. If you're a believer, did you know that? We're all tied together. We're all part of the family of God. You know, we say brothers and sisters. Some people get a kick out of it. I'll say, "Oh, how you doing, sister so-and-so?" And they'll laugh and chuckle. But that's the truth. We are brothers and sisters. Amen? We've all become part of God's family. And, you know, in this portion of Scripture, it says, you know, he anointed us. He set a seal of ownership on us. He put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. You know, we kind of focus on that the most, it seems like. But this part, this first part where it says, "Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ," just kind of caught my attention. And I was wondering, you know, looking and studying in that area there about what does he mean, causes us to stand firm, you know. They had all received God's Spirit and belonged to God through Christ. And, you know, that holds true for us also if you're a believer, if you're born again. We're all connected together, like Paul saying, you know, them and the other guys, we're all connected together, and they're standing firm in Christ. This little portion of Scripture has four key terms that he uses of how God made them all part of his family. That part there where it says stand firm, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." You know, when we made that decision to become Christians and we gave ourselves to God, invited him into our hearts and everything like that, it wasn't just it was the greatest decision of your life, really. And this relationship you have with God now through Jesus is not some shaky, flimsy little thin ice type relationship, okay, that can just be destroyed real easily. Okay. When you made that decision to receive Christ as your Savior and come into the family, God's power and all his authority and everything just moved. It moved on your behalf. Okay. And it established you as his child and as a, you know, child of God and a citizen of heaven. Amen. That word there, to stand firm, it means one of the main meanings of it is to establish you. It established you, okay? And God established you in his family, okay? And nothing can take you away from God. You're planted in God's family. He's his power, all his abilities, everything is watching over you and protecting you. You are, like I said, it's not some flimsy thing where the devil can just knock you off or take your salvation away from you or remove your, you know, citizenship from the Lord. The primary meaning, well, this is a verb, but it means to be firm, to build up, to support, to nurture, or to establish. The primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. It is used to signify support of a pillar. The same word was used in 2 Kings 18:16, which was talking about a pillar, the support. When you become a child of God and a, you know, citizen of heaven, God established you firmly. Amen? Like I say, it's not some shaky, wishy-washy relationship that you now have. It is a rock solid, locked in, firm. You are established in God's family. Amen? Look at Psalms 40. Psalms 40, verse 2. Psalms 40, verse 2. It kind of gives you an idea about the meaning of this. It says, Psalms 40, verse 2, it says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock." Amen? "And gave me a firm place to stand." Okay, that's, in a sense, that's what Paul is saying. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm." Amen? "In Christ." Well, he pulled you out of the slimy pit and he set your feet on the rock. Amen? Everybody knows what the rock is? Huh? Jesus, amen? Jesus is the rock, amen? He's the solid rock. And a firm place to stand. And in 1 Corinthians 1:8, let's look at that, 1 Corinthians 1:8, it says, "He will keep you strong to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful." Amen? He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day. You know, this isn't some shaky, like I'm saying, you know, like walking on thin ice, you know, you fall through and whatever, you're swept away and drowned, or some kind of shaky, flimsy kind of relationship. No, God has pulled us out of the slimy pit and set our feet on the solid rock. Amen? The rock. And he will keep you strong until the end. He's there. All his power and protection is there for you. But you can just make a decision, you know, "I want nothing to do with this Jesus stuff," and off you go. You can make that decision to just walk away. That is the only way that you would all ever lose your salvation, okay? But it would be impossible for the devil to just come in and try to, you know, cause you to lose your salvation or separate you from God somehow. You are locked in. Your feet are firmly standing on the rock. God is there. You know, the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding day and night for you. Jesus, our Lord, who is God, who's interceding and praying for you day and night, all the time. You're that precious and important. You know, in the in In the New King James, it says, that same verse in 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, it says, who will also confirm you to the end. That's the same as keep you strong to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ is Lord. God is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. He is establishing you upon the rock. Amen? See, all it took was in your heart, you by faith, you call upon Jesus. Amen? I mean, we that's the only thing we can do, and we were prayed for, and the faith was not our own. It came from the Lord. Amen? The grace is the Lord's aid. Amen? All we did is we made the decision to do it. Amen? And just by you, by faith, calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all this stuff kicks in, okay? Mighty God, the creator of the universe, takes and establishes your feet upon the rock, puts you on a firm place, amen? Nothing can separate you from God. No power of the devil can separate you from God now, okay? Amen? And he says he'll keep you strong to the end. Now, in Romans 8:34, let's see what that is. Romans 8:34. It's important to know, that you belong to Jesus and nothing can separate you from God. Amen? You have a future. You have a heritage, you know. And as that scripture says, is the scripture we started with, he anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. He put his spirit in your heart as a deposit, okay? So you understand, this is no trivial little thing that happened, you know, between you and the Lord when you asked him into your heart. He has, you know, moved everything. He's done everything to guarantee that you belong to him and that you will receive all the things that he's promised. Amen? You belong to the Lord, and nothing can stop that. Nothing can break that relationship that you have with the Lord. Amen? There is nothing the devil can do or anybody that can separate you from God now. You are locked, other than you willfully just walk away and renounce Jesus and just, that's it. After you've known the truth. Amen? You knew God, you knew the Holy Ghost, you knew you had Holy Ghost in you and, you know, and everything. You knew all the truth. And then for some reason, you just decided to walk away. Now, that, you know, what are you going to do there? You know what I mean? You reject Jesus, you don't want him no more, and you want to go be a sinner and serve the devil. I mean, that sounds insane, doesn't it? Well, yeah, I think you'd have to be insane to do it. But in Luke, or Romans 8:34, it says, who is he that condemns? Question mark. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who also was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay? Question mark. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Amen? Don't think of yourself as some puny little weak human being that everybody tramples on. The Bible says you are more than conquerors. Amen? That's what you think about yourself. That's what you say. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? Well, because God says you are, right? The Bible says you are. Amen? You are more than a conqueror. It's important that you say and believe the things that the Bible, that God says about you. Amen? Because everything in the world is designed to tear you down, to give you an inferiority complex, right? Your self-worth of zero, spirit of rejection, and everything else. You're not worthy, and that's the world system. That's what the devil will do to you unless you understand what God says about you. Amen? You're more than a conqueror. The Spirit of God now lives inside of you. Amen? He has pulled you out of the miry pit set you down on the solid rock, man. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Man, I think about that. I was on my way to hell. The highway to hell. Is that a movie or something? Highway to hell? I was on my way to hell, and I think about that sometimes. Eternal hell and darkness, gnashing of teeth, and all the horrible things I ever heard about hell. That's where I was heading. Oh, man. And Jesus saved, you know, I called upon the name of the Lord, and he saved me. Amen? He pulled me out of that hell, out of that miry pit, and set my feet on the solid rock. Amen? And not only that, he gave me authority, as it says in Luke. I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. One moment the devil had me by the throat, pulling me down into hell. And the next minute, he's under my foot. Right? Because Jesus gave me authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And that's demons and devil and everything like that. He's under my feet, and I'm trampling on him. Amen? And I'm on my way to heaven. And the devil's on his way to the pit of fire, right? A lake of fire in hell. He's probably pretty unhappy about right now. And it goes on, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Nothing. Nothing human or supernatural or angel or devil or highest mountain, deepest oceans or whatever. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? So you see, when you made this decision to receive Jesus as your Savior and to surrender your life to him, boy, I mean, you did something that is permanent. That is, you are locked in. Nothing can separate you. You belong to God. You think Jesus is going to come down here and live like he did, die like he did, and have some flimsy little covenant agreement with us where, you know, we're just snatched away by the devil all the time and this and that? No. We belong to God, right? Try to take a little doggy snack away from a dog. We got a little dog. You do not try to take his food or his snacks, you know, little doggy snacks away from him. They will defend it with all they got. Even though you're a little chihuahua and you're this big person, it don't make no difference. He's just ferocious. Well, imagine God. He has bought and paid and shed his blood for you. You think he's going to let that devil or demons take you and then destroy your salvation away and take you away from God? Not a chance. Not a chance. The creator of the universe, of all things. Those devils and the demons, they're really frustrated because they can't touch you. They can't get to you. I'm not saying you're not going to have tribulations or whatever in this life, because we all do. It's just not going to happen. But your spirit, your soul belongs to God. They can't touch it. You understand what I'm saying? You belong to God, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're going to have that promises, the immortal body and everything, you know, forever in heaven. He cannot touch that. And we know that these bodies are not going to live forever, right? It's like, you know, Lord, you know, I ask for healing or pray for healing to fix this and that. And, it's kind of thinking the other day, I said, Lord, I know I'm not going to live forever, but, you know, can't you just fix this deal so I don't have to live it out and live in pain all the time or something, you know what I mean? We know we're not going to live forever in our bodies. One day, if you live that long, you're old and gray, and the doctor's going to say, well, we can't fix this, son. You know, this is isn't something we can fix. You know, we're not able to cure this, or there's nothing we can do, you know, that someday, you know, I always feel like I'm going to go to church and either be sitting in the chair or preaching and go home, have a nice, wonderful meal, sit down in my easy chair and kind of like just close my eyes and kind of fall into a wonderful, peaceful sleep and just wake up in heaven, you know? I don't think you have to die some terrible, horrible death, okay? And that's full of pain and all this kind of, you don't have to. I don't believe you do. If you believe in faith and pray over your body and believe God, you know, I think it can be better than that, amen? And then what would even be better than that is go in the rapture, amen? hey, and don't, you know, it could happen. It could very well happen in our lifetime, the way things are going. It could easily happen in our lifetime. Like I said earlier, we are right on the edge. It's every day you read about something really bad happening and people act like they're insane. You got this nut job in North Korea, claims he set off an atomic bomb the other day. You know, it's like, you know, what is he doing out there? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, where was I at here? Oh yeah, we're talking about the world, you know, and all these things. It could happen at any time. That's why you have to always be ready and be prepared. And this message in this scripture is very powerful because it builds your faith, you know. It tells you, it reassures you of your salvation and all that belongs to you. And nothing is going to change that. Amen? As long as you hold on to your faith. Amen? It's like a bulldog with the last bone on earth, right? You don't try to take that bone out of that bulldog's mouth, right? But I mean, you've got to stay firm in your faith. God has done everything. He snatched you away from the devil. As that scripture said, he pulled you out of the slimy pit and set your feet on the solid rock. Amen? That scripture says he has established us firmly. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. We are established and firmly planted. Amen? In the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 22:32, it says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." That's, you know, Simon called Peter, you know, he got scared. And I think that was when the rooster crowed three times, you know, and Peter got scared and they all accused him and he denied Jesus, you know. But, you know, Peter hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. You know, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, everything changed. Man, Peter changed. All of a sudden, he was the bold Peter, you know, got up and preached on the day of Pentecost, and thousands were saved, and he went before the religious leaders, and he just got right in their face, you know, and said, "It's because of Jesus." Amen? The next three terms that are in there, besides that keeping you strong to the end or establishing you, are the second one was the anointed. That word anointed, we were in, 1 Corinthians 1:21. This is a big deal, this scripture, big deal. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's see. What the heck? Was it? Yeah, 2 Corinthians. I was wondering, how come I'm... Second Corinthians. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Okay? We're all connected together. We're standing firm in Christ. Amen? I think we've seen that. He anointed us. Okay? He anointed us. Back in the Old Testament when there was only... the people weren't anointed. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them or this anointing. The only ones that did were three types of people, three categories: kings, priests, and prophets, I believe it was. That was the only ones that had this anointing on them. They had the Holy Spirit sort of on them, not in them, to stand in the offices that they had. There was only three types of people: kings, priests, and prophets. But now us, the average believer that is born again, we are anointed. Amen? It says, He caused us to stand firm. He kind of pulled us up out of the slimy pit, put our feet on the solid rock. He anointed you. Okay? This ain't talking about prophets or preachers or evangelists or whatever. You, little old you, right? You are anointed. If you're saved and you're born again, you are anointed. Because that's to say that's not true is you're denying the Word of God, right? The only trouble is a lot of us don't know that. We don't know that we're anointed. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When you are anointed, when God anointed you, what He did was He set you apart. You're set apart from like the rest of the world, all the heathens and the non-believers and all that. You're set apart for God. Okay? If God anoints something, that means it's set apart. It's, you know, it says it is set apart, it is empowered. If you're anointed, you're empowered to do whatever it is God has for you to do. Gifted by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's that, you know, you can be anointed with holy oil. Anointing had the significance of dedication to God. So now you are set apart and dedicated to God. Okay. Anointed to stand in a specific office. Okay. So if, for instance, in the Old Testament, it was kings, priests, or prophets. You were anointed to stand in those offices. So the question is, how could we do the works of Jesus without the anointing? Right? Anybody? Anybody awake out there? You know, look at John 14. John chapter 14. See, each person, each one of us needs to have a real good grounding in the Word of God that tells us who we are, right? Who we are, what our authority is, what belongs to us. It's important that you know that. Because if you don't know that, the devil's going to try to take advantage of you. See, because of, that's the way it works, ignorance, just pure ignorance. We're uneducated, we're ignorant, we don't know the Word of God, and the devil knows that, and so he can try to take advantage of you, see. And so that's why you want to know what belongs to you, right? It's like your inheritance. You know, I've told that story many times about that woman who was like a servant and worked for a very rich woman, her family, an estate over in England. They were worth buku bucks. The woman died, and the rich woman died, and that person that worked for them ended up dying. I think she starved to death in a little cabin that they allowed her to stay on. And after her death, they found her dead. There was a letter on the dresser, and it was a letter from the rich woman who said, she had put all this money in a bank account for her, and that she could draw on it whenever she needed money. She could draw on this huge amount of money she had put away for her. The woman could not read. She was uneducated. She could not read, and she just kept that letter. She didn't ask anybody to interpret it or anything, but it was right there. She had all this that belonged to her, and yet she starved to death because she was ignorant. She couldn't read, and she didn't know what belonged to her. Isn't that sad? Man, that is really sad. In a sense, the same thing can happen to you. If you don't know, you can't just say, hey, I believe every word in that Bible from cover to cover, right? It's all true. That's one thing to say that, but you need to know what's in there in between the covers, right? You need to know who you are, what your authority is. What authority has God given you, right? And who you are in relationship to God. You're His child. This is not some flimsy thing, right? You're not walking on thin ice in this relationship. Man, this is a rock solid thing. Amen? And God is jealously guarding you. Like our little puppy dog, when if you try to get his snack, man, he turns into a ferocious bear, right? Well, you're messing with God, you know? When you mess with God's people, you're messing with God. Amen? And especially when you're messing with the Jewish people in Jerusalem. They are the apple of God's eye. And when you try to take their land away from them or pressure them to do it, there could be severe consequences. I've read a book called Eye to Eye. It was documented of all the times our president or secretary of state and these ones in power have pressured, high people in our government have pressured Israel to give up land and all this, within 24 hours how judgment came on our country. I mean, severe things happened. Okay, and it's boy, it was an eye-opener, a big-time eye-opener. You know, the whole Bible and everything revolves around the Jews in Jerusalem and all you know, it's amazing that people think they're just going to destroy all the Jews and drive them into the ocean and take all this stuff. It's always going to be about Jerusalem and the Jews. If you look at the world situation today with all these terrorists and Muslims and all this stuff, it's all over Jerusalem and the Jews. And since we were there, have been their friends for all this time, defending them like the big brother, you know, well, they hate us too. You know, it's just the spirit of hate and murder. And it's all going to wind up just exactly like it says in the Bible. So in John 14:12, it says, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So Jesus expects you to do the same things that he did, right? I mean, one person is not going to do everything that Jesus did, but as a body, as a whole, as a church, we should, and even more, it says. Amen? Well, how are you going to do it if you're not anointed? You can't do it as just a normal human being, right? Excuse me, in the flesh. You know, that's why, you know, you're anointed and the Holy Spirit and his spirit has been put into you. Amen? If you're going to do the things that Jesus does, you're going to have to be anointed. And we see how Jesus was anointed in the beginning of his ministry. He didn't do anything until he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Right? He lived for, you know, he was 30 years old, approximately 30 when his ministry began. When he was 29 years old, he was still Jesus. He was still God. He was still the Son of God. He was perfect. He did not do one miracle. Okay? When his ministry came time for it to start, John the Baptist baptized him in the river, right? And the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, and then immediately he went into his ministry, and he started performing miracles. The first miracle he did was when he changed water into wine. And it goes on and on and on, you know, raising the dead, casting out devils, opening blind eyes. You know, when he got empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, that's the way we have to be. We, the same things that Jesus did, he says we're supposed to do. He was like a, you know, the first of a new race of people. In the sense that the Holy Spirit came upon him and empowered him. He was anointed and empowered. And he went around doing, you know, the works of the Father, you know, on the earth. Destroying the works of the devil. And it's the same way for us. He's like Big Brother Jesus, and he set the example and the way that we're supposed to follow. Amen? So we get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and we get power, right? We got to have that power to do the works that Jesus did. We can't do it on our own, just in the natural. We have to be supernaturally empowered by the Holy Ghost, right? That's what it's all about. You know, so Jesus, he had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had to be anointed. You remember in the part of the scripture says, where Jesus says, I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor and brokenhearted and all this. He was anointed. He had a mission. He was anointed to do that mission. He was empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And, you know, Jesus, what if he just sat around worried about, you know, how he's going to pay the rent or where he's going to get his next meal, and where can I buy some clothes, and I'm going to take a vacation here, there, and boy, would we be in a world of hurt, wouldn't we? But that's mostly what we're consumed with about 90% of the time, with all the worldly things that we have to do, food, clothing, shelter, and complicated family relationships and whatever. We're not focused. You know, remember that scripture says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Don't worry, you know. But that's what it is. We're mostly consumed with worldly things. and we're not, you know, we need to be trusting God and going after the things that God wants us to do. There's people that do that, and God uses them in a mighty way. They are absolutely, totally surrendered, and are going 100% with God. And God does exactly what He says. He supplies all their needs, usually abundantly. Amen? So, anyway, the third word that Paul used for salvation was seal. He set his seal of ownership on us. Man, you got branded like a steer, you know? And you know, Ephesians, you say, what's that seal? What's that seal? Well, Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14 tells us what it is, in case you didn't figure it out. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And it says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The seal is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of God. So, as a guarantee, He gives you His own Spirit. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you as a guarantee and a deposit that all the promises, everything He said belongs to you, the guarantee that you will get it. Amen? That's a pretty good guarantee, isn't it? The Spirit of God in you, man, is guaranteeing that everything that you're going to live forever with Him, and you're going to have a new immortal body. Amen? All these wonderful things. You'll never be sick or hungry again or whatever. You won't have to pay taxes or punch in the time clock at 8 in the morning to go to work, you know, for some mean old guy, right? It talks about that word, that word seal in the Greek. It's some of the reasons it says is for security, to hide, keep in silence, keep secret, in order to mark a person or thing, hence to set a mark upon by the impress of a seal, you know, to stamp something, in order to prove, confirm, or attest a thing, to confirm, to authenticate. You know, that word seal goes way back. You know, kings used to take their ring. They would melt wax and seal an envelope, and they would take their ring, the royal seal or whatever, and imprint it on that wax. And that was a seal. And you didn't dare break that seal, the king's seal, you know. And it also would identify whose letter it was and also guarantee the authenticity of that letter. And so I think we all know what that seal is. But in the spirit realm, I'm sure the devil, demons, or anybody else in the spirit realm can look as they're looking around, going to and fro, seeing what kind of trouble they can make. They'll see that seal on you. You know what I'm saying? We're in the natural, this world. We don't see these things, but we can sense it and feel it inside of us, the Holy Spirit, right? Leading us, guiding us through life and things. And, of course, we want to obey the Holy Spirit as He leads us. But in the spirit realm, I'm sure that these demons and devils or whatever they are, they see that seal on you. Just like if you're in the Old West, you know, you see that cow with that certain seal on it, and that seal don't belong to you, that brand. You don't mess with that cow. Because back then, you got hung with a rope, right? For cattle rustling or horse thieves, you got hung, you know. So you don't mess with that, right? That's a stamp, a seal on you. You belong to God. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil can't try to, you know, mess your day up, right? But he can't touch your spirit or your soul. You belong to God, right? But because we're in this world, in our bodies, our mortal bodies are susceptible to attack or whatever. Your new body, your body did not get born again, right? We all know that. It was your spirit that got born again. Your body didn't. It's mortal. And so it is subject to the things of this earth and sickness, disease, or pain. Your body's not immortal. You just try putting your hand in a frying pan sometimes. See if it don't hurt, right? Or you know what I mean? Your body is susceptible to being attacked. That's why you pray all the time. Pray. It says pray all the time with all kinds of prayers, right? That's what the Bible says. Pray, and it works. If you're smart, you know, like I was telling Claudia, in our house, we have authority, right? Well, this, in a sense, my body is my house for my spirit, right? I have authority. You have authority over your house that you live in, which is your body, right? Your spirit, your soul lives in this body. You've got authority. Also, our house that we live in, you know, we have authority there. That's our house. We live in there. You step out of your door, nah, you're in a different realm, man, right? The devil's running wild, man. There's demons all over the place. There's no telling. Some nut job might try to kill you on the highway. Somebody that's drunk or on drugs, you know, that the devil has done this to, can cross over and just wipe you out. Or all kinds of things can happen. You're in a different, you don't necessarily have, you know, authority out there unless you take it in the name of Jesus. That's why you pray. You get in your car, you're going to go somewhere, you plead the blood of Jesus over your car, over yourself. I'm going to that store, you know, and I pray in the name of Jesus. I bind you, devils. Amen. I bind you from inciting anyone against me or stirring up anybody to attack me in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's verbally or some nut job running around with a knife, you know. I mean, is that so far-fetched anymore? People are being killed right and left by these nut jobs running around with knives and guns and everything else. You take authority. Amen. Believe me, it works. You take authority over your children and you pray for your children. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. Don't just do nothing. You got to understand, you got authority inside your, you know, of your body, because that's your house. You got authority in your house. You take authority there. But when you go out into the world, it's a big free for all. You know? And the devil, you know, the god of this world, it says, Satan is the god of this world. And boy, you can tell it too. When you look at our government, what they're doing, and the crime, the immorality, just it's, you can just see the whole thing. I mean, we're just right on the edge of this, of the, you know. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It just, sin had reached its full measure, and once sin reaches its full measure, there's nothing left but judgment. And this country is pretty close, well, the whole world's close to it, because of the immorality, the sin. How far is God going to let it go? Okay? How far is he going to let it go? It says he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he don't judge us, you know. And then you put on top of that what is happening in science and technology, you know, the genetic enhancements, DNA manipulation type stuff. We're just right there. I'm reading about it all the time. All the things that they're doing, they're getting ready to. They claim they can just about read your mind now. They can check. They can know what your dreams are, know what your own thoughts. They can, you know, they can splice right into your DNA. They can take something out, put something else in there. I saw a guy on a program. There's a little kit he got called CRISPR. CRISPR. The kit's called CRISPR. Crisp, and then with an R on the end. Literally, it will. You take this stuff, and it will go in and in your DNA, and will splice out a piece, and insert something else in there. And we're talking about changing the whole human race if we're not careful. Okay, something other than what God created. You know, God created humans 1.0, and everybody wants to go to human 2.0, and through technology and computer chips, DNA enhancements, you know. Trying to think of the word. I can't think of it right now, but you don't understand how this can change the human race, and it's right there, right? We're right on the edge of it. And So the question is, how far would God let this go? You know, I know I'm getting off a little bit, but I'm trying to explain some. Why it's 24 after? Okay, this one is. I'll get off of that. But it's something I want to warn people about, because it's happening, and our children are going to grow up into a whole nother world than what we grew up in. Believe me. And what they're going to have to face is something we never even dreamed of. Okay. And then there was in Romans 8:14 it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen? I'm going to go ahead and just cut this off, but that is a powerful scripture. Amen? Amen. Remember, God pulled us out of the miry pit. He put our feet on the solid rock. Amen? There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Amen? You have been anointed. Amen? God's seal is on you. Amen? As a deposit and a guarantee. Nothing, you know. It's not some flimsy, thin ice type relationship you have with God. Amen? God, you gave your life to God, and God's moved all his power, heaven and earth, just to protect you. Amen? Amen. He would, all his power, everything he could do, he would do to protect one person that belongs to him. He's like the great shepherd, and he's not going to let the wolf get one of his sheep. Amen? Just stay with the flock. Don't go jump in the fence and running over to the other hill, right? You stay with the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and we thank you for this message today. I believe that it will reassure people. It will build their faith, and cause them to be bolder and more secure in their thinking and in their hearts, Lord, that they will know they belong to you. Nothing can take them away from you. And we thank you for this. What a mighty promise that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Was there anyone needed prayer for?